the apple tree makes apples because it's an apple tree. You say, well, okay, that's good, Pastor David. I'm glad you understand that. No. Understand my point. Christians bear fruit because we have a relationship with Jesus. It's the natural thing. It's what's supposed to be going on in our lives. It's not a matter for you to hear about bearing fruit and going, oh, great, one more thing I got to do. No. This is one more thing God is doing through you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit in and of itself, it has to be connected to the vine, it has to be connected to the ground. We bear fruit because of our relationship in Jesus. Don't whine because you should be bearing fruit in your life.
Welcome to Cross the Bridge with David McGee. David is the senior pastor of The Bridge in Kernersville, North Carolina. One of his associate pastors is with us today on the program. Welcome, Pastor D.A.
Hey, Bob. Wow, man, it's exciting to be here. Excited about this teaching. You know, being fruitful is an important part of being a Christian. In fact, Jesus said we should bear spiritual fruit, and we shouldn't be spiritual fruits. Find out what this means as Pastor David continues in the Gospel of John, chapter 15.
Now, here's David McGee with his teaching, Spiritual Fruit.
John chapter 15 verse 1 says, I am the true vine and my Father is the vine dresser. Now, let's remember that Jesus closed the last chapter that we covered, chapter 14 verse 31, by saying, arise and let us go from here. So they have left the upper room. Now, this is still considered the upper room discourse, but they have left the upper room. Now, Jesus often would walk around and point at something as he taught about it. So this brings up a couple of interesting things. Now, perhaps he is walking past a vineyard, walking past a grapevine, or perhaps they're walking past the temple. You see, the temple at that time had these huge doors with grapes and vines that were decorating the doors. And perhaps as the Passover was happening, they went by the temple and Jesus pointed to these things and started talking about them. Now, this is the seventh of the I am statements that Jesus made. Jesus made seven I am statements. We'll go through them right now. If you're taking notes, you may want to jot these down. He said, I am the bread of life. That was in John 6, 35. He said, I am the light of the world in John 8, 12. He said, I am the gate in John chapter 10, verses 7 and 9. He said, I am the good shepherd. John chapter 10, verses 11 and 14. I am the resurrection and the life, John 11, 25. And I am the way, the truth, and the life, in John 14, 6. So in all, Jesus makes seven of these I am statements. Now, we don't understand in English the significance of these statements, but when Jesus said, I am, what he was talking about is referring back to the complicated name is Tetragrammaton, but what he was referring back to is the fact that when Moses said, who are you? God said, I am that I am. And so Jesus was actually referring back to that. Now, it's interesting because the Pharisees in many places are kind enough to point important things out to us, but they do it in a particular way. Whenever you see the Pharisees getting upset, ask yourself why they're getting upset. Because half the time when Jesus mentions these I am statements, the Pharisees, they get rattled. So don't miss that. Now, of course, there's not Pharisees at this point. There's just the disciples. But Jesus says, I am the true vine. If Jesus is saying, I am the true vine, what do we know? We know that there's probably other vines that are not true. There's other counterfeit vines. But, you know, Jesus is the real deal. Jesus is the real deal. And keep in mind, guys, you can always find fault in a church, any church, including this one, because you know what? People are involved. Once you involve people, man, it just starts to go downhill in a hurry, doesn't it? I mean, that's just, but Jesus himself is the real thing. In my time, I've eaten some meals that were just horrible. I mean, they were bad meals, you know, and you're like, okay, cross this place off the list. I'm not coming back to eat here. But you know what I didn't do? I didn't wake up the next day and go, that meal was horrible. I'm never eating again. That food stuff is just bad. Now you go, well, yeah, obviously you don't do that. But how many times do people do that with churches? They have a bad experience with church, and they go, I'm done with not only with church, I'm done with God. See, again, anytime you involve people, there's going to be shortcomings, there's going to be sin, there's going to be faults. But Jesus himself is the true vine. He's the real deal. If we could just... And Jesus is reminding them of this because, you know, they're going to be banned from the synagogue. They're going to be barred from the temple. They're going to be beaten. They're going to be persecuted. And he's reinforcing the central truths of their relationship here. Verse 2, every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. Again, we're continuing with really what is some fairly difficult teachings of Jesus. These words are pretty in your face, upfront, and bold. So we're going to kind of take our time with these and look at what Jesus is saying. Now, and keep in mind, if you've been here for very long, you've probably heard me talk about serving. You've heard me talk about putting wheels on your faith. You've heard me talk about these things. And perhaps even some of you thought, you know what, you talk about that too much. But wait a minute. Look at what Jesus is saying here. Look what Jesus is talking about and the terms and the words that he uses. These are some pretty bold words. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes that it may bear more fruit. Now, I want you to keep something in mind because as we look through this, well, to be honest, I used to have a fairly twisted notion of this passage. You know, I used to see, I don't know, when it talked about pruning, I just kind of saw, you know, some maniacal gardener, you know, running through the garden, you know, or maybe the chainsaw gardener or something, you know, running through the garden and doing that. But at this point in my life, I've pruned roses, and I've also pruned fruit trees. We have fruit trees where we live, and I don't ever prune anything because I'm mad at it. I'm pruning it for its benefit, not because I'm mad at it. See, some of us think, well, yeah, he gets mad and then he prunes us. Oh, no. See, because if I'm mad at the apple tree, I'm not going to go prune it. I'm going to let it alone. I'm going to leave it there. So pruning doesn't mean the gardener is mad. As a matter of fact, I watched an elderly person one day pruning roses and was just amazed at the care and the attention of where to cut and how to cut and even the angle to cut on the branches. And I thought, what a beautiful picture of the Heavenly Father as he carefully and tenderly prunes our lives to put more energy into the places that are bearing fruit. Now, we're talking about bearing fruit, so let's understand something, that we bear fruit because of our relationship with Jesus. There may be difficult decisions, okay, that you have to make in order to bear fruit. You may have to make difficult decisions about what not to do so that you can be fruitful. But understand where the fruit comes from. It comes from God. It doesn't really come from you. You're the branch. You see, you know, again, we've got an apple tree. Now, when I prune that, you know, and all the branches are down, I can't just bring those branches and go, well, here's a branch. And if you put it, you know, in a window in your kitchen, you'll have apples next year. It doesn't work like that. Now, of course, you can use them. You can take those branches and root them and do all that stuff. But again, the fruit comes because of the relationship. And taking a, you know, I take prayer walks around these fruit trees sometimes. Some of you know where this is going. And you know what I've never heard one of those fruit trees doing as I walk around, as I'm taking my prayer walk? I've never heard a fruit tree going, I'm making apples. It's so hard to make apples. I've never seen that. Not one time. The apple tree makes apples because it's an apple tree. You say, well, okay, that's good, Pastor David. I'm glad you understand that. No. Understand my point. Christians bear fruit because we have a relationship with Jesus. It's the natural thing. It's what's supposed to be going on in our lives. It's not a matter for you to hear about bearing fruit and going, oh, great, one more thing I got to do. No, no, no. This is one more thing God is doing through you. Through you. Just as a branch cannot bear fruit in and of itself, it has to be connected to the vine. It has to be connected to the ground. We bear fruit because of our relationship in Jesus. And again, I've never heard the apple tree going, oh, I got to make apples. No, 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 no. Don't whine because you should be bearing fruit in your life. That's inappropriate. It's our relationship with Jesus. Well, Pastor David, you just keep saying that. Exactly. I want you to get it. I want you to understand this. I don't want you to walk out of here and go, great, I got to bear fruit. No, you get to bear fruit. And again, you do that because of your relationship with Jesus, not because you're so high and mighty and you're all that and there's just something intrinsically, inherently good in you. That's not good Bible. The Bible says that none is righteous, no, not one. All have fallen short of the glory of God in Romans 3:10 and 3:23. But God is doing a work in you. God's doing a work in us. And what an exciting thing that we get to play a part. We should be bearing fruit in our lives. Now, we have a couple of grapevines there as well. And there's what's called, well, they call them sucker shoots. And these sucker shoots, they grow out and they never bear fruit. They take energy from the plant and they have to be taken away so that the plant can bear fruit. If you'll imagine, if you will, I don't think plants have souls, but let's not open that whole thing up. You know, but it's probably not an enjoyable thing to be pruned as a plant. I'm guessing. And it's not an enjoyable thing to be pruned as a believer, is it? It's not. It's often painful. But again, it is for our benefit that we might bear fruit. Now notice something here. If you've been feeling like you have been pruned, notice the second part of verse 1. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes. If you've been feeling like you've been pruned lately, there's good news. Because God says he prunes the ones that are bearing fruit. So when you're being pruned, the good news is God, in his estimation, believes that you're bearing fruit right now.
You're listening to Pastor David McGee on Cross the Bridge. He'll be right back with more in just a moment, but I want to remind you of the free resources available to you on crossthebridge.com. There's a team of hundreds of people that will pray for somebody to be saved. You have a loved one that needs to know Jesus as Savior. You need people to pray for them. You need someone to present God's Word to them. Every day we're presenting God's Word to them here on Cross the Bridge with Pastor David McGee. We can pray for them as well just by simply going to crossthebridge.com and click on the Pray for the Lost button. All you need to do is put in the first names of the people you love that need to know Jesus as Savior. Click on Submit and immediately, hundreds of people will begin praying for your lost loved ones. And what an awesome way to bring your loved ones to Jesus. Here's a word from Associate Pastor D.A. Brown.
I want to pray for seven cities in our listening audience. Port Allen, Louisiana, Fruitland and St. Mary City, Maryland, Scituate, Massachusetts, Baldwin, Benton Harbor, and Vassar, Michigan. Lord, thank you for these cities. Thank you that we get to broadcast in these cities. And Lord, thank you for everyone listening. I pray that you would encourage them right now. Help them in these last days to keep their mind and their eyes, their heart focused on you. Help them to be in your word every day, Lord, for encouragement. God, I pray that you would remind them that you have a good plan. You're going to take care of them, and they don't have to fear. And Lord, for anyone listening who doesn't yet know you, I pray today that they would put their trust in you, Jesus. Simply receive the gift that you paid a high price for them to have. Just by trusting in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, brother. And now, let's get back to David McGee as he continues teaching verse by verse.
Now, verse 3 says, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Already clean because of the word. Now, this concept is not just here. It's all over the Bible. In Psalm 119, verse 9, it says, how can a young man cleanse his way by taking heed according to your word. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 25 and 26. Husbands, love your wives. And elbows are flying. Just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for her, that he might sanctify and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word. By the word. understand this is part of what God uses to cleanse us and for us to bear fruit is the Word of God. Is the Word of God. Now, we obviously hold the Word in a great importance here. Why? Because Jesus has used this Word to change us over and over and over and over again to cleanse us, to cleanse us. Now, the New Living Translation here in verse 3 is interesting. So let me share that. It says in John 15:3 in the New Living Translation, "You have already been pruned for greater fruitfulness by the message I have given you." So again, Jesus is speaking to us. And let me ask you this. Have you ever been in a Bible study, either just reading the Bible or maybe sitting in a study, maybe even today? You're sitting there and you're hearing God's word, and all of a sudden you're like, boom, there went a branch. I just got pruned. Praise God. Well, didn't need that branch anyway. I mean, this is what God's word does. It's the proper function of God's word. Now, you can dig your heels in when you hear a teaching. Oh, that's not right. I'm not believing that. I know he said it. I know it's in the Bible, but I'm not buying that. That's an option. It's not a good one. It's not a good one. See, because God desires to prune us through his word. And you know, we often ask ourselves, are you in the word? You ever been at, when somebody says that, what they're saying is, are you in the Bible? Are you reading the Bible? Are you in Bible study? Are you in the word? But there's another good question that's kind of like that. Is the word in you? Is the word in you? Is it having a place of authority in your life? Is it having a place of prominence in your life? I sure hope so. I sure hope so. Now, the next life lesson there is the Bible washes us, prunes us, and helps us to bear good fruit. The Bible washes us, prunes us, and helps us to bear fruit. That's part of what the Word of God does. Now, verse 4 says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me." There's an interesting concept here, because any fruit that we bear is because of our relationship with Jesus. Now, there's a whole lot of people who say, yeah, I believe. If you say, hey, do you believe in Jesus? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. Well, you know, do you go to church? Nah, I don't go to church. Well, do you read your Bible? Nah, I don't really read my Bible. I watch Christian television sometimes. Christian television's great. Well, some of it is. But understand that there's more to it than that. And from what Jesus is saying, if somebody doesn't have any fruits, you should be concerned. You should be concerned. And in love and honesty, you should say, you know what? If you believe in Jesus, I don't see the fruits. I don't see the fruits of belief and walking. See, because, again, we should all be bearing fruit according to this passage. The last thing I want somebody to be that really believes in Jesus, the last thing I want them to do is be living a life that's not bearing any fruit. I've seen fruitless believers, and how tragic that is. Because there is so much to do to serve God and to love the world and to invite them into a relationship with Jesus. And I hope nobody listening this morning or on TV, radio, the internet, whatever, will be happy with a fruitless life. Because God has so much more planned for you than not to be bearing fruit. I understand, ultimately, each person in here, including my own children, will make that decision about following the Lord, and because of that relationship, bear good fruit. But Jesus here makes it plain that that is what we're supposed to be doing. Hold your finger in where we are, because we're coming back to it. And let's go to Matthew chapter 21, Matthew 21, 33. Well, let's just read from there to the end of the in the end of that chapter. Matthew chapter 21, verse 33 says, "Hear another parable. There was a certain landowner who planted a vineyard and set a hedge around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower, and he leased it to vine dressers and went into a far country. Now, when vintage time drew near, he sent his servants to the vine dressers that they might receive its fruit. And the vine dressers took his servants, beat one, killed one, and stoned another. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first, and they did likewise to them. Then last of all, he sent his son to them, saying, they will respect my son. But when the vine dressers saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and seize his inheritance. In verse 39, so they took him and cast him out of the vineyard and killed him. Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those vine dressers? And they said to him, he will destroy those wicked men miserably and lease his vineyard to other vine dressers who will render to him the fruits in their seasons. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, have you never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected has become the chief cornerstone. This was the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. Therefore, I say to you, the kingdom of God will be taken from you and given to a nation bearing the fruits of it. And whoever falls on this stone will be broken, but on whomever it falls, it will grind him to powder. Now when the chief priests and Pharisees heard his parables, they perceived that he was speaking of them. But when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. So let's go back to John. Now this lets us in that there's something deeper going on. What we see right here really is Jesus is saying, you know what? I am the vine. In the Hebrew scriptures, in the Old Testament, there was a picture of Israel being the vine. And Jesus is saying, you know what? This is a season now where you can be grafted in. And what an amazing thing that now we're grafted in and it took. And we're bearing fruit. Now, praise God. We're bearing fruit. So notice in this portion of scripture, in Matthew 21 and in other places, Jesus is expecting us to bear fruit. Verse 5, I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. He's continuing on with this abiding. He's continuing on with this bearing fruit. At this point, you know what we can figure out? Fruit bearing is kind of important to Jesus. Amen? I mean, he seems to be getting on this theme and running with it, doesn't he? So Jesus is saying when our relationship is right with him, the natural occurrence will again be that we're bearing fruit. That we're bearing fruit. Now, is there fruit in your life? I've heard it said, you know, if you were arrested for being a Christian, would there be enough evidence to convict you? Jesus says, without me, you can do nothing. And he's saying, you know what? Nothing of meaning, nothing that's important, nothing that will last. Now, you may have done nice things outside of Jesus. Certainly, there's organizations that do nice things outside of Jesus. But you know what Jesus says here? In the final result, it's not worth anything in an eternal nature. Now that's really important for us to understand. Here's why. And there's a cute little thing, and I think it's cute, gives you a little warm, fuzzy. Practice random acts of kindness. Doesn't that sound nice? You probably just got a little warm, fuzzy just now, didn't you? But that's not what we do. We don't practice random acts of kindness. We should be practicing, you know, meaningful acts of kindness and using that opportunity to talk to people about the Lord. That's why if somebody comes to us for food, we give them food, but we also give them Jesus. If somebody comes here for clothing, we give them clothing, and we also give them Jesus.
Friend, do you know for sure that your sins have been forgiven? You can know right now. I want to lead you in a short, simple prayer, simply telling God you're sorry and asking him to help you to live for him. Now, God wants you to pray this prayer so much that he died to give you the opportunity and the ability to ask him to forgive you. Please pray this prayer with me out loud right now. Dear Jesus, I believe you died for me that I could be forgiven. And I believe you were raised from the dead that I could have a new life. And I've done wrong things. I have sinned. And I'm sorry. Please forgive me of all those things. Please give me the power to live for you all of my days. In Jesus' name, amen. Friend, if you prayed that prayer, according to the Bible, you've been forgiven, you've been born again. Jesus said he would not turn anybody away who comes to him, and he came for those people who knew they needed forgiveness, those who were sick, not the righteous. So congratulations, friend, you just made the greatest decision that you will ever make. God bless you.
If you prayed that prayer with David for the first time, we'd love to hear from you. You can visit crossthebridge.com to receive our First Steps package with helpful resources to help you begin your walk with Christ. Or you can write to Cross the Bridge at P.O. Box 12515, Winston-Salem, North Carolina, 27117, and share how God is working in your life. You know, the Bible tells us that the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. But it does cost for us to come and bring that message to you and to others in your neighborhood through radio, through the internet, and through the mobile technologies that God has gifted us to be able to use. So if you'd like to support this ministry, please go to crossthebridge.com, click on the donate button, and ask God how much he would have you give either on a one-time basis or a continuing basis each month to help ensure that the teaching of God's Word continues to go out through Cross the Bridge. Thank you so much. Well, D.A., before we go, what are some ways that we can bless our listeners?
If you're not able to make it to your home church this Sunday, why not join us for our live stream at 10 a.m. Eastern Time or on Thursday nights at 7 p.m. Eastern Time? Just visit crossthebridge.com and click on our live stream link. There, you will experience a live service from David's Home Church, The Bridge, in North Carolina. Again, that website is crossthebridge.com. Each day, you can wake up with encouragement from Pastor David through the Word of God with his email devotional, life lessons to consider, a daily reading plan, and a thought to meditate on throughout your day from the heart of David McGee.
Those are terrific, and it's easy and it's free. So folks, sign up today at crossthebridge.com. Thanks again for listening. And join us next time as David McGee continues teaching verse by verse in the Gospel of John.